what Sufiya is about. But what the ulama say, like Al-Imam Al-Hafiz Ibn Jawzi alayhi rahmatullah in his book Talbis Iblis, he says alayhi rahmatullah, he says faqala, he says fi asri rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, that at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he says kanat kalimatu al-mu'min wa muslim. He said, what the people were upon is to say somebody is a Muslim, somebody is a mu'min. That was what was known at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. So when he said taraktukum ala mahajjatul bayda, he's talking about Muslims, he's talking about mu'min. And in some ahadith, like the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, we'll see the kalima ihsan and things like this. This was what was known at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet also mentioned kalimat, like he's saying al-jama'a in the hadith of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan and others, when he mentioned iftiraqul ummah, that this ummah is going to be divided into sects. He says, wama hiya ya Rasulallah. He said, which part is that part that is not going to end up in the fire, O Messenger of Allah? He said, wa hiya al-jama'a. He said, it is the jama'a. So this kalima al-jama'a was also known with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions at their time. It is also known that he said alayhi salatu wasalam, ma ana alayhi al-yawm wa ashabi. Just like he said today, as we read in this hadith of Abu Najih, that he said, taraktukum ala mahajjatin al-bayda, aw taraktukum ala al-bayda. I have left you upon a bright path. So these kalimat were known. These were known at the time of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So Al-Imam Ibn Jawzi said, this was what was known at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, summa nasha'at kalimatu zahid. Later people began to be called zahid. Somebody who does not eat. Somebody who does not drink. We will come back to that inshallah. So this kalima zahid began to be known and it became an ascription. It says, wa'abid. Somebody began to be called an abid, an ardent worshipper. At the time of the companion, people worshipped Allah. In fact, humankind will not know the worship of Allah to be in its most perfect sense as it was known at the time of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Humankind will not know worship, ibadah, to be in its most perfect sense with the presence of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam and the afdalul nas ba'da al-anbiya'i wa rusul Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, then Umar radiyallahu anhu, and all these people were on earth at the time. No, there is no time that ibadah will be known on the earth like this time that these people were on the surface of the earth. If there is, anyway, in Surah Al-Isra, when Allah told us about He's taking the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam on Mi'raj, Isra Mi'raj, He said to us, He said, Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi. He said, abdihi, abd is mufrad, hi, mudaf, ko, ilayhi. He said, and the ulama said to us that mufradun mudaf tufidul umum. So this is saying that this his slave, abdihi layla min al masjid al haram. This his slave attained the highest level of ubudiyya. That's why the ulama say that the fact that he didn't say rasulihi, that he said abdihi was in a greater sense of honor for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. So he took the one who has the most perfect attributes of worship for Isra and Miraj. Even when some of the scholars of the Sufiya, like Ibn Arabi al-Maliki, claimed also that they have Isra, that they are also taken to the heavens. If we have the opportunity, inshallah, we'll get to that. The Sufiya, from their belief, is that they also have journeys they make to the heavens. So they have opportunity to see the Lawh al-Mahfuz. They have access to discuss with angels and all of these. If we have the opportunity, we'll mention some of these things. So ibadah in its most perfect sense was at the time of the Prophet Muhammad. And yet, at the time, nobody was called abid. People were called Muslim. People were called mu'min and all of that, muhajirun, ansar. These are the names that we are known. But to say somebody is Zahid, it was not known. To say somebody is Abid, it was not known at the time of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, summa nasha'a aqwamun. Thereafter, some people evolved. وَتَعَلَّقُوا بِالزُّهُدِ وَالتَّعَبُّدِ. So they got affirmed, the zuhud, with living things, not eating, not drinking. We mentioned the case of Dawood Abqa'i. In his own case, he had a house. He does not believe that he has to repair the house, even when the house was getting destroyed. We had other people at the time. So they became known with Zuhud. Things that were ordinarily permissible, we are coming to mention in the Ibn Arabi now. But we may not have time. Let's quickly mention this. One of those people that has been mentioned with these kinds of attitude was Malik ibn Dinar. Ulama say imtana an al-zawaj. He refused to eat. He refused to get married. Wa kana yaqulu, and he used to say, la yablughu ar-rajulu manzilata as-siddiqin hatta yatruka zawjatahu annaha armalatun. A man will not get to the level of the siddiqun, those who are true with their iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hatta yatruka zawjatahu ka'annaha armalatun, until he abandons his wife such that she will be like a widow. These things are not known at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To say that it is from ibadah that one abandons one's wife as if she is like a widow. He said, wa ya'wi ila mazabil al-khilaf. And such men, after abandoning his wife, the place where he kicks to all the time is the set pit of dogs. The set pit of dogs. He should kick to places like that. Things like these were not known as from ibadah at the time of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. That's why that statement of Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas al-Madani alayhi rahmatullah, that what was not ibadah at the time of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, it will never be ibadah until there will be no creation. He said, because he said alayhi salatu wasalam, man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa. This was what the companions were upon. Any person who brings any deed thinking that by so doing he's getting close to Allah, and it is not from those things that have been approved by the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, such things will be rejected. So Al-Imam Ibn Jawzi alayhi rahmatullah, he said, nasha'a aqwam wa ta'allaqu bi-zuhudi wa ta'abbudi. So some people came up and they became, you know, known with zuhud, with abstinence from things that were ordinarily permissible, to such an extent that people punished themselves by so doing. And then people began to make acts of worship. You would read that somebody got into a place and he made nawafil. He made 1,000 raka'ah. This is not known. Somebody got into a place, he wants to make ibadah. He makes 2,000 raka'ah. Some people will say, no, they do not eat. Like, it's mentioned of Safwan ibn Sulaym. Safwan ibn Sulaym, al-Imam al-Zahdi alayhi rahmatullah, he reported of him in Sirah Alam al-Nubala. He says, kana yusalli ala sabti fil layla. So he used to pray on the roof in the night. He said, fil layla til barida. In the cold night, he will go to his roof to perform his qiyam al-layla. And why does he do that? He says, li alla yaji'uhu an-nawm. He says, such that he does not become taken off by sleep. He said, wa qad a'ata Allah ahdan. He said, because he had given Allah a covenant, Allah yab'a jambahu ala firashin hatta yalhaqa rabbahu. That he will not place his side on a bed until he meets Allah. Safwan ibn Sulaym, he will not place his promise with Allah, his covenant with Allah is that, la yab'a jambahu ala firashin. He will not place his side upon any bed hatta yalhaqa rabbahu, until he will meet Allah. He reported also in fear under his tarjuma. When he wanted to die, this report was brought by Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna. When Safwan ibn Sulaym wanted to die, and the pangs of death came, he was suffering from the pangs of death. He was secret because he had an ahad that he will never lie on his side with Allah. He will never lie on his side. In the night, he goes off to make qiyam al-layl, so that he does not sleep off, no matter how cold the evening will be. He refused to sleep. So when the pangs of death came and they told him, why not lie down and sleep so that you can feel some comfort? He said, I had already taken a covenant with Allah that I will never lie on my side. And he died while sitting. It was after he died that he was laid. So there are people like this who became known with things like this after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. At this time, still, this word Sufiya was not really a word that was known. It was not used. People only got involved in things, issues of acts of worship like that. This one, his own case may be, you know, exceeding boundaries regarding fasting. This case, his own case might be exceeding boundaries regarding nawafil. This, his own case may be things like this. There were cases people got involved in things like this. But this word, this kalima, Sufiya, was still not known at this time. People got used to things like that. He says, وَاتَّخَذُوا فِي ذَلِكَ طَرِيقَةً. He said, later people took as a way. He says, وَاتَّخَذُوا فِي ذَلِكَ طَرِيقَةً. They took it as a way of life. So people took it. Some people take fasting from this one, take nawafil from this one, take not sleeping from this one, and put all of them to gain in themselves. That was how the evil was going. The excesses. That was why it was exceeding bounds gradually. He says, "Tafarradu biha." They became known with it as their way of life. He says, "Hakaza kana awailul qawm." So that was how the people were initially, from one stage to the other. He says, "Walaqasa alayhim iblis ashya'a." What happened was it was Iblis that was deceiving the people. It was Iblis that was deceiving the people from one state to the other. He said, do this, they add to it. Do this, they add to it. Do this, they add to it. Like it's said to have been reported from Abdullah, as it's been reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas, collected by Imam al-Bukhari, that the same thing happened with Qawm Nuh. They did not sleep to wake up and then started to worship idols. No, it was gradually. It was reverence, then respect, and then they started making dua. So those names Allah said to us in Surah Nuh. So that was how it came gradually. He says, "Summa ala man ba'dahum." Then he also makes talbis to those who came after these people. "Ila anta makkana min al-muta'akhirin." Until he got real grasp of those who came thereafter and thereafter, "Gayata tamakkunin," to the utmost level. He was changing the people and having access to them. Changing the people and having access to them until he got grasp of the people at the end of the day to the extent that people started to say some of what we read to us today, inshallah, that they have said either about themselves or about Allah or about the Prophet of Allah and things like this. So Shaitan got into them and they could say what today. And we know even today, Shaitan is still getting hold over them because there are some things that we are not done then. Or that we can say we have not seen that happened then that we have seen today. If we have not seen, we have heard. If we have not seen, we have heard. That one of the tawavit of Sufiya that's in existence today was prostrated to in the prostration of Salah. Because people like that are considered as from Ilah. We will come to that, inshallah. So, but what we are saying, the point of note here is that things were not like that at the beginning. Getting close to Allah was not to the extent that a man had to punish himself. No, it was not like that. And that was why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam kept on repeating it. In this place, he says, "Taraktukum ala al-jayba, layluha kanahariha, la yazigu anha illa halikun." I have placed you on a bright path. The night of it is like the day of it. Anyone who leaves it will be destroyed. It means each time anybody does any act of ibadah, anything, thinking that by so he is seeking nearness to Allah or is seeking to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a mizan, there is a scale to know the rightness or the wrongness of the thing that that person does. Because he had said to us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that la yazigu anha, what I have left, no one leaves it illa halikun, except that he is destroyed. So it means anyone who leaves that part of sunnah is destroyed. At the time of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, this hadith is a popular hadith. People went to the house of the Messenger of Allah to ask his wife regarding his ibadah. Does he sleep in the night? Does he perform salah all night? Does he fast all night? does he have something to do with his wife? And when we are told about the Prophet's acts of worship, and they were saying, he is the messenger of Allah, we will not suffer, we will not sleep at all, and we will not marry women. What did he say? Alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet said, Amma ana asumu wa aftiru. For me, sometimes I fast, sometimes I don't fast. Alayhi salatu wasalam. It says, Wa usalli wa ana. Sometimes I wake in the night, sometimes I sleep. He says, "Wa atazawwaju nisa," and I also marry women. And he says, "Faman rajiba an sunnati falaysa minni." Whomever seeks other than my sunnah is not from me. This is evidence that there is nothing that will bring success to us. There is nothing that will bring closeness to Allah for us except by upholding the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. And if we hear that Imam walked in air, like Imam Ibn Taymiyyah said in his book Al-Furqan, if we saw that Imam walked in the air, he was just going and he sustained in the air, and we look at his ibadah, it is muwafaqah with sunnah, we say maybe karama. We look at his ibadah, we look at his taqidah, we look at his mu'amala, and it is mukhalafah to sunnah, we know it is dolal. No matter who the person is, we know that it is misguidance, whether he is walking on the sky or not. At the time of the companions of Allah's Messenger, one of those who called himself a Nabi, who claimed prophethood, he had a sihr. This is also mentioned by Imam Ibn Taymiyyah in his book, Al-Furqan. He had a magic that he used to perform. It would be written on the sky that, La ilaha illallah, wa fulan ibn fulan rasulullah. He said, you disbelieve in it, say, look up. Say, see, the angels are writing there that, La ilaha illallah wa rasulullah. The companions told him that you are a liar. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had said, La nabiyya ba'd. After me, there is no messenger. And Allah has said, the Prophet is Khatamul Anbiya. So after him, there will be no. So they placed themselves upon this al-Bayda. And they understood that anyone who went out of that al-Bayda is halik. So no matter what the person does, and no matter whatever the person does, they are not going to be disturbed except considering and concentrating their efforts upon al-Bayda, upon which he left them, alayhi salatu wasalam. So this was how the companions were, and this is how we should be also. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, radiallahu anhu, he said, Rakana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, wa ma ta'irun yuqallibu janahayhi fil hawa illa wa huwa yadhkur lana minhu ilman. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, tarakana, he left us when he died, he left us on a path such that before he died, ma ta'irun yuqallibu janahayhi fil hawa, there is no bird that flaps its feathers in the sky. As it folds its feathers and stretches it, the Prophet sees it. If there is something we are to gain from it, he will tell us. He says, Illa wa yadhkuru lana minhu ilma. If there is something beneficial, he will say it to us. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he said, the Prophet used to say, Ma bakiya shay'un yuqarribu min al-jannati wa yuba'idu min al-nar illa wa qad buyyina lakum. There is nothing. You call ribu min al jannah. He said, Ma bakiya shay'un. People of Arabia. Shay'un. Ma bakiya shay'un. Nothing is left. Nothing is left. You call ribu min al jannah. That can bring somebody to al jannah. Wa yubaidu min al nar. And take somebody away from the fire. Illa wa qad buyyina lakum. Except that it had been explained. Bayan. Buyyina. It's not, that's why I said, لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا. It is clear. So anyone who seeks for other than that, is Jahannam is looking for. That's why he says, لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا حَالِكُمْ. So this is the understanding of the companions, and these were the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, upon which they stood. This foundation is very important. Upon whatever we'll be saying, be placing it upon this. Has it been upon, was it what the companions were upon, was it what the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam taught the companions that they were upon, and is reported authentically for us? If it is, then it is from the sunnah, we must not leave it. If it is not, no matter who is mentioned to have done it, it is misguidance. That's why he said, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُفْدَسَاتِ الْأُمُورِ. He didn't tell us who is going to bring مُفْدَسَاتِ الْأُمُورِ. But the people directly was warning was who? The companions. Ulama said the fact that he's warning the companions, he says it is possible that a companion may make a mistake, but you see he will be corrected. When the Prophet was alive, those three companions who went to his house were corrected. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was alive, those three companions who want to make ta'abud and zuhud and all of these as a way, he told them, no, I'm not like that. And he told them, man rajib an sunnati khalif. And he said, ana atazawwaju nisa. So compare that with the statement of Junaid, that la yablughu ar-rajulu martabat as-siddiqin hatta yasrifa zawjatahu ka'annaha armalatun. Compare the two. So as to the extent of deviation, I don't say la, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam tazawwaja min an-nisa. Well, Abdullah ibn Abbas, al Imam al Bukhari, repeated that. Abdullah ibn Abbas used to say, the best of you is the largest of you in his wife. The best of us, the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salam, he had the largest number of wives. He had 12 wives. So the Prophet was a human being. He married. So if a person says, we will not get to the level of the Siddiqun except we abandon our wives, we say, no, but the Prophet married. His level is greater than the level of Siddiqun. Abu Bakr is Siddiq, he had 3 wives. His level is the Siddiq, we know, not son. So if any person comes and says, no, there is going to be a level of Siddiqun, but what will bring you to that level is that don't marry and don't have anything to do with women, we know that. La yazigu anha illa halik. This is from the Halikun, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, described to us. So at the time of the Prophet, all these things we are not known. So the time came when people began to make, like we said, of Al-Junaid, as it's reported in the book of Sufiya, Nashhatuha wa Tatawurha, that people like this got involved in things like this. It is said, Wamtana an akli laham. Junaid also, he did not used to eat meat. He said, well, you're cool. And he used to say that, he said, Innahu la ta'ti alayya sana. The year can go past. La أَعْقُلُ فِيهَا لَحْمًا. The whole year I will not eat any meat. إِلَّا فِي يَوْمِ الْأَضْحَى. Except on يوم الْأَضْحَى. فَإِنِّي أَعْقُلُ مِنْ أَضْحِيَتِي. I'm going to eat from my ram that I slaughtered. So 1 year no meat. قَرُوبًا إِلَى اللَّهِ. So we're going to say the Prophet كَانَ يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَام. Even Mushriku, we are wondering, مَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَام وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. What kind of a messenger is this that eats food and comes to the market? Allah affirmed that yes, he's food, comes to the market. He says, Ana basharu mislukum yuha ilayya. I'm a man like you. Yuha ilayya, the difference is that I have wahi, you don't have wahi. That's why he told us in Isra. He said, when they say that, why is it that the angels do not come to the surface of the earth to tell us about obeying Allah and believing in Allah? He says, tell them that if the people on the surface of the earth were angels, Lana Zalna alayhim mina sama imalaka rasul. If they were angels, we would have sent angels to them. Well, because you are human beings, we sent a human being to you. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was a human being like any other human being. Yuha ilayhi. He had wahyu, so it made him to be Nabi, made him to be a Rasul. So but all of that things human beings do, human beings eat, he ate. Human beings drink, he drank. Human beings sleep, he slept. Human beings married, he married. Human beings had sexual relations, he had. So this is the normal. Any other thing is vague, is dalala. It's not known, it will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That narration about Junaid is mentioned in Tariq al-Tafawuf. And the ulama say, wa kathiran ma yakul, Junaid, all the time, Malik ibn Dinar, he used to say, قَرَأْتُ فِي بَعْضِ الْقُتُبِ. I read in some books. قَرَأْتُ فِي التَّوْرَةِ. I read in Torah. وَيُرْوَى عَنْ إِسَى. He used to quote things like this. He used to mention, we'll come back to this. What is the impact of things like this? Reading foreign books, books of Kufar and the Yahoos and the Hindus and the Buddhists. What impact did this have on those who came later amongst the Sufis? We'll mention it if we had time, inshallah. So Malik ibn Dinar will always say, وَيُرْوَى عَنْ إِسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. It has been reported from Isa alayhi salam. How many lies have been told and ascribed to Nabi Isa and to Nabi Musa alayhi salam? He said, بِحَكِّنْ أَقُولُ لَكُمْ. Please, know that I'm telling you the truth. This statement is ascribed to Nabi Isa alayhi salam. He says, إِنَّ عَقْلَ الشَّعِيرِ وَالنَّوْمُ عَلَى الْمَزَابِ مَعَ الْكِلَابِ لَقَلِيلٌ فِي طَلَبِ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. He said, إِنَّ عَقْلَ الشَّعِيرِ, to eat sha'ir, jero, what is it called, wheat, وَالنَّوْمُ عَلَى الْمَزَابِ مَعَ الْكِلَابِ, and to sleep in the first seats with the dogs, all in zuhud, to seek closeness to Allah. لَقَلِيلٌ فِي طَلَبِ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. There are small things for somebody who wants to seek actually Firdaus, meaning he should do worse than that. Of course, that's why today many of the people who want to show that they are zuhad or they are or bad, you see they're very dirty. People think that one of the symbols of showing that you don't like this dunya is to be dirty. All those thoughts came from things like this. That statement is contained in Khiliyatul Awliya under the tarjuma of Malik ibn Dinar. So other things came too. People started to say that they are making ibadah to Allah in later generations. These things were coming, like we said, gradually from one level to the other. People start to say that they are making ibadah. La tama'an fil jannati wa la khawfan minan nar. It is not because they want to seek, you know, they desire al jannah, or that they are scared of entering the fire, that they are making ibadah. That's not the reason why they are making ibadah. So they would say that, he said, innama lishubbil ilahi, because of our love. We have love for Allah. Love, this love between, yes, Muslims should love Allah. In fact, if someone, not to love Allah is not from Iman. It is not possible that there is a Muslim and he does not love Allah. But loving Allah is not only the reason why we make ibadah. Of course, Allah told us about the Anbiya. He said, يَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَغَبًا. He says, ذَلِكَ يُخَوِّفُ اللَّهُ بِهِ عِبَادَهُ يَا عِبَادِي فَتَّقُوا. He says, فَتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. Allah is telling us, fear me, fear me, fear me, fear the fire, fear the fire, fear this. Seek al-Jannah. He says, سَارِئُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا. He's making us, giving us targhib to seek al-Jannah. But they're saying, no, our own worship is not, it's not to seek al-Jannah or to run away from the fire. It's just because we love Allah. We are lovers with Allah. It is reported that there are some conflicting reports about the woman. She's referred to as Rabi'a al-Adawiyya. This woman, Al-Imam al-Zahabi, alayhi rahmatullahi, in Siyar Alam al-Nubala, was saying that there are so many lies that she's not known to be what is popularly, you know, known about her. That most of what is reported regarding her are not true. That they are lies. Things like this. But there are a lot of reports that have been reported about her. One of what was said about her is that somebody asked her, Al-Tukrahina Shaitan, do you hate Shaitan? He said, La. She said she does not hate Shaitan. That her love for Allah is so great that her mind does not contain hatred for any other thing, including Shaitan. So this is the kind of love they are talking about when they talk to regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these things were not known at the time of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wa sallam. But people had ecstasies gradually at one point in time or the other, and the thing was getting worse and was getting worse until the fact that the word Sufiya became a word that people got themselves, you know, ascribed to, that became an idea, and then Aqidah, beliefs, began to be woven around that word, and then what we see or what we now know as Sufiya became known as Sufiya. Initially, individuals were having excesses in terms of their worship. People like the companions, radiallahu anhu, made mistakes regarding some acts of their worship at the time of the Prophet Muhammad, and they were corrected by the Prophet. So they got out of this kind of extremism. Alhamdulillah. And that's why he was saying to us, Taraktukum ala al-bayda, I've cleaned you. That's what he said to us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Huwa alladhi ba'atha fil ummiyina rasulan minhum, yatlu alayhim ayati, wa yuzakkihim, you purify them, clean them up. Wa yu'allimuhumu al-kitaba wal-hikmah. You teach them the book, you teach them the sunnah. Before then, they didn't know anything.
So the companions were taught and were trained by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And at their time too, when the Prophet left them, when they saw anybody, they corrected him, like we saw Abdullah ibn Zubayr. We mentioned him, he corrected his son Ali, who was fasting all day and night. Why are you fasting all day and night? He said, I met Abu Bakr, I met Umar, they were not fasting every day and every night. So they corrected those. But some people got corrected, they changed. Some people got corrected, they didn't change. Gradually, the thing was getting exceeding boundaries until people became what they later became known with as the Sufiya that we'll quickly mention now, inshallah. Before that, one of those things that I've also been mentioning is that people got themselves very hungry. They were not eating food. It's one of the people who came later, subsequently after the time of Malik ibn Dinar. His name is Afar al-Baghdadi. It was said that he remained so hungry, he was not eating, ta'abudan lillah, making ibadah with hunger, such that he ran mad for 9 years. He was mad. The same thing happened to Buddha. We'll come back to some of this if we have the opportunity. The Imam al-Zahabi alayhi rahmatullah, he said, وَبِسَبَبِ هَذِهِ الرِّيَاضَاتِ, because of these spiritual exercises, he says, فَقَدَ عَطَاءُ الْبَغْدَادِ أَقْلَهُ ثَمَانِيَةَ عَشَرٍ عَامًا, for 18 years. I said 8 years ago, 18 years. He missed his intellect. He was stupid, 18 years. And then Imam al-Zahabi said, alayhi rahmatullah, he says, سَبَّلَ اللَّهُ لَنَا أُكُولَنَا, Allah got us established with intellect. Allah gave us senses to think. He says, فَمَنْ تَسَبَّبَ فِي زَوَالِ أَقْلِهِ, anyone who was a cause to his intellect being lost, بِجُوعٍ, as a result of hunger, وَرِيَابَةٍ صُعْبَةٍ, or difficult spiritual exercises, he says, فَقَدْ أَصَى وَأَصِيمَ,